Seven witnesses are Gentiles, how much more than, what a problem is. My translation says, how much more will those 12 sons be? Your translation say that? What did you say? No. What translation do you have? Yeah, that's better. See, they have this word will, nothing. You're not saying, you're saying, look, this is all done, this is all Israel, God commit all this. Just so Israel can be destroyed. No, God has one reason. One reason is that when Israel is conquered or rejected Jesus, it opened the ears of the Gentiles. Which is because of God's obvious reason. Now he says, he does not say, my first transgression be written for the world and their third written for the Gentiles, how much more will their first son be? There's many days. As the nation is set to Messiah, it says in the Greek, how much their fulfillment. The word will is there. That's a bad translation, well, that's not a translation at all. It doesn't say they will, national Israel will return to the Messiah. He says, it's how much would their fulfillment be, is what it means. How much, if it's, because you probably say, I wish Israel could be saved. That's my heart's desire for them. Wouldn't it be great if, what he's saying is, wouldn't it be great if they would accept the Messiah now, after they've opposed him so long? See, the fact that they rejected Jesus made the Gentiles interested, because they thought, well, they're going to be Jews. But then after the Jews persecuted the church for so long, wouldn't it be a great testimony if they changed their minds and said, he's the Messiah after all, after the Gentiles did as well as that? But that's not say it's going to happen. It's not in the Greek. Does not say how much will their fulfillment be, what are their effects of have. He's saying, he says, it means how much will it be great, what he's saying. It is not a promise. And that word will, it's very important that word is in there. It's not to do. And King, as Viola's translation points out, is how much their fulfillment depends. That her translation is more faithful to the Greek, kind of shows that word will is in there. Right? You can just mark it out. But I'm speaking to you as Gentiles, and as much as I'm an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. It's not even my main job, but I do my job. If somehow I might lose the job to my fellow countrymen and save some of them. I wish I could, something I would do, I wish they'd become jealous. Some of them. Look, they saved some of them. They weren't all saved. I saved some more. If you want them all to be saved, but he's hoping that the fact that the Gentiles accepted them to be Christ and Jesus and rejected them, you know, maybe this would make some of them jealous. What if their rejection be the reconciliation of the world? What, again, what will is there? If the Jews' acceptance be the reconciliation of the world, he's assuming himself, what their acceptance that lies from the dead? So the very same thing he says in verse 12. Again, what will is there? What does this say, by the way?
So if
the casting
away
of
them being
the reconciling
of the world,
what
shall
be
receiving
if they receive
life from the
earth? Again, what will is the ministry? What they're receiving? Would it be great if they would? And if the first piece of dough be holy, the lump is also. If the root be holy, the branches are too. The 11 being first piece of those in national Israel, and the old covenant of Israel, the love being the new covenant of the church. And if the root be holy, the branches are too. But if some of the branches are broken off, note that some, as a matter of fact, it's most, but it's still some, understand? Some of the branches are broken off, and you being a wild olive were grafted in among them, and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree. That is, see, the root is the promise. It's the promise. What he's saying is that most of them were broken off. Why? Because national Israel did not receive the promise. It was broken off. But you were grafted in, the Gentiles. what he's saying is, you're a part of the church, but the root is not Gentile. The root is Israel. Why? So he said this. Who's the Messiah come to? Israel. The covenant, the promises, all come to Israel. But if you're a wild ox, pardon my heart, you've been grafted in. You're not the arrogant toward the branch. I love it. Remember I said the Gentiles were boasting toward the Jews, just like the Jews were boasting toward the Gentiles? They were saying, aha, you see. Well, it's true that you were the root, but the national Israel's been broken off. We were grafted in, you can call it, therefore it. Therefore, we are now in the Catbury Sea. So he said, now wait a minute. You've been laying on the Jews pretty hot and heavy, haven't you? And he said, it's true that most of the branches are broken off. So he didn't believe. And Gentiles didn't grant it in. They did believe. Then he said, now you Gentiles, don't get haughty about that. If you are arrogant, remember, it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. Matter of fact, Israel comes first.
He's writing that the Jewish are still, when you're talking about Jews, because the Jews that are still persecuting the church itself, or the Jewish Christians who live in the church and are still borderline.
That's a good question. He's speaking to them, the Jewish national mind in general, including those in the church. I think he's good. What Dwayne asked, he's speaking to this, and as much as the church is involved in it, he's saying this is the Jewish national mind, which is causing the problem in the church. Now, you will say to them, so he's trying to bring this into balance. He's saying it's true that the Jews did have a covenant when the Messiah came to the Jews. They are the root, and they were broken off. You were grafted in. But don't you get in trouble and make the same mistake that the Jews made, or you adopt the same attitude that caused them to be broken off. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off in the sense of allowed to be broken off. Israel was allowed to reject the Messiah. For the Gentiles to come in. So that I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief. If you stand by your faith, do not be conceited, but what? Fear. If God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. So again, now exactly when he says, there's no difference in this. So if there's a Jew, then you are to both the Jews and the Gentiles. It has none of this stuff of, well, you rejected your Messiah, and now we're the branch. And it's our turn, and you can just take second place. He said, don't do that. That's the very attitude that got the Jews in trouble. Can't repeat myself now. Behold, then the kindness and the severity of God, by his guiding for a balance. Now, that's an important statement. I think it's a really good term. Behold, the kindness and the severity of God. Kindness in letting the Gentiles in, severity in breaking off, and allowing the natural branch to be broken off. But his severity will be both. His severity, his kindness will turn to severity. To those who fail, severity, but to you, God's kindness. If you continue in kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, the Jews, if they do not, if, no better. Anybody say, but if I say that the word will was on it, he does not promise that they will return. Note here what he said. He does not say when. He says if they do not continue in their unbelief, they'll be grafted in. But God is able to graft them in again. He said, look, anytime the Jews want to come to the Messiah, come by faith, they're accepted. Don't say it. What was the Gentile saying? Well, you know, you had your chance. You crucified your Messiah. Now you are demoted. You are beneath us. He's saying, oh no. There's no difference. Look, he said, anytime Israel wants to come, they'll be grafted in. The branches, the broken branch, can be regrafted in to come by faith. And for God is able to graft them in again, For you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, the Gentiles, he's changing metaphor here, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated tree, Israel. How much more shall we, who are the natural branches, be grafted into your own olive tree? Cut your version. That stops the boasting of the Gentiles. And don't you? Because sure, they said that the Jews of the nation have rejected their Messiah. But don't you know that God still loves them? And he's just as anxious to graft them back in as he was to graft you in. If they turn to graft you, listen, the book of Romans despises, even though it dismantles the prejudicial conception of the Jews concerning the Messianic kingdom, the book of Romans actually is not a book that teaches anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is an ugly thing. God, the Jews are not, any different the Jews are not in any worse position before God than anybody else. When I wrote that article 2 years ago on Messianic nationalism, the study of the Bible, I pointed out that the Jews did not have a special promise for national Israel. And I got in all kinds of trouble from all kinds of letters from people who wrote that said, yes, God still over the world, the whole thing. But I got a bunch of hate letters just from somebody in Florida. The anti-Semitic saying, oh, we're glad you're still, we're glad to see you on our side, because we've been saying all along that the Jews are going to use all this anti-Semitism. Boy, I wrote them a letter right away. I said, look, I'm as far away from you as I am from the dispensation. Don't count me among you. I said, no, I just really wasn't letting the ride at. Why? You see, there is no distinction. It's one thing to say that the Jews do not have a special promise, but they had no lesser promise to say. No distinction. And then he said, look, these Gentiles, are you really suggesting that the God who grafted a wild olive branch into a cultivated tree, that he wouldn't graft a natural branch back then? Well, he sure would. The God who was grafting a wild olive branch, the Gentiles, would certainly graft in a natural branch if they would come by faith. There's no distinction. That's quite beautiful, isn't it? Don't you get it? You just levels it out. Okay, I do not want you to be uninformed. I want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery. Your mystery means that which has been revealed, but had to be revealed, you know. Lest you be wise. Here's a tough word to count. Lest you be wise in your own estimation. That a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Note this, that all Israel has not been. The key word here is the partial hardness, only a partial hardness. He's saying to the Gentiles primarily, look, don't you hate Israel just because they crucified the Messiah? The hardening is only partial. There's a remnant. It has accepted. It has come by faith. And therefore it will always be a remnant. The hardening will always be only a partial hardening until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. Now, what this means is, the fullness of Jesus uses this phrase, something similar to it. He talks about Jerusalem, religious falls of Jerusalem, Luke 21 and Matthew 24. He talks about that Israel, that Jerusalem shall fall by the sword and shall be downtrodden in the Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Now, until times of the Gentiles. Fullness, times of the Gentiles are ended. Now this phrase, times of the Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles, it simply means, as I understand it, the church age. That is, the church will become predominantly a Gentile church. Predominantly. That is, God dealt with the Jews and the ideas of the Gentiles primarily. And it will be this way, this is the way until the end. And I would point out that Jerusalem is still bound by the Gentiles. Is Israel not bound, Jerusalem not bound by the Gentiles? Who's got control of it? The Zion has got control of it.
Mm-hmm, yeah, the city now is supposed to mention Israel.
Yes, and certainly the sense of the book of Romans. It is those who are now in control of national Israel, of Jerusalem, are not Israelites. There's no such thing as a Jew in the Old Testament sense anymore. Somebody will call a Zionist an Israelite, and that's really especially in our nation. There's no connection by faith, there's no connection by flesh, there's no connection. Well, anyway, that's a tough subject. I wrote a whole paper one time on the times of the Gentiles. Now, when I finished, I wasn't sure I knew any more about it than when I started. It's very problematic. So I'm just giving you my understanding. Okay, he does not say, and look, many translators to me, that the times of the Gentiles, then the Lord's going to come back and be time of Israel again. Let's follow this through. The hardening is only possible. He's saying to them, don't be wise in your own estimation. He's saying to the Gentiles, don't get boastful. The hardening is only partial. And then he draws it into a great conclusion that thus all Israel will be saved. Now, the point of what it does not say. It does not say, and then all Israel will be saved. And all kinds of commentaries that have this saying, well, you know, it says that the hardening is only the part of the hardening that comes to Israel until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, and then all Israel will be saved. And they quote this text. I would point out that it doesn't say that. The word is not then all Israel will be saved. It is thus all Israel will be saved. It does not say, the Bible does not say, at that time all Israel will be saved. It says, in this way all Israel will be saved. Now, keep in mind, this is summarizing, bringing the argument to a close. The argument has gone all the way through Romans 9 to 11, which came to a point of reference. Now, why do you think? And thus, okay, here's how the text says. Don't be boastful, the hardening is only partial. And all Israel, in this way, in this way, all Israel will be saved. Question, in what way will all Israel be saved? Well, in context, has he said all Israel will be saved? Yes, if you understand. He started out by saying, they are not all Israel, who are Israel. The Jews said, Jesus can't be the Messiah because the Old Testament promised that all of national Israel would be saved. Oh no, the promise was only to the remnant. It's never to, it was always to thee, not to thee. So, God promised to save Israel. In Jesus, God has kept that promise in this way. In what way? In the way he sent, what we call, what's been divided into three chapters, in the way he sent three chapters explaining in this way. It is through Christ. That's been the whole point, hasn't it? And look what he says, let me continue reading. And thus, in this way, how? Through Christ, all Israel shall be saved. Who? All Israel. The remnant. As it is written, the deliverer will come from the Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob, and this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. What are you talking about? About Jesus. He's the deliverer. Now, okay, you get that? He goes, Mr. Preacher, it doesn't say, then all will be saved. How is the other this tribe? They translate it very popular Jewish television view of this thing. They interpret this to say, and then all national Israel will be saved. And rebuild the temple, and the Messiah's going to come back, and rule from Jerusalem, and then all national Israel will be saved. Very strange. But that interpretation is very common. Is the interpretation, if that's the correct interpretation, and this is the conclusion of this long discussion. If that's the correct interpretation, then you can see simply that interpretation absolutely contradicts everything Paul has said in the argument. If that's what that means, then the conclusion contradicts the argument. As a matter of fact, has he been teaching that at that time all national Israel will be saved? No. He was saying, in this way, through Christ, the deliverer, God has kept his promise. See, that was an issue. Wait a minute, Paul. Did God promise to save Israel? Yep. Let me tell you who Israel is. Who is Israel? The remnant. And in this way, God will say, and thus all Israel shall be saved to be the same. And thus God has kept his promise. You know, I'm lucky. Now, this takes us back to the way I started the question when I first asked. Oh, the issue? Well, has God kept his promise or not? And Paul declares that every promise made to Israel has been kept and delivered in Christ. He never promised to make them move in the world. He promised to save them. He said, where is he? He says in the top of the quote. And how in the world anybody can interpret what I keep in mind when they say, and then all Israel shall be saved. That's only the interpretation. They didn't say that. You can't. How do they promise that? Prophecy commentary. Because it's actually a misquote the text. You know, and then all Israel shall be saved. No. You see, it doesn't say they will come back, and therefore the Gentiles can be a basic testimony to the Gentiles. They will heal us there. And that, we all tie together. It says, yes, they would. And it does not say, if they will, it says, in this way, Israel is saved through the Messiah. And by the way, you see, if Jesus is going to come back and save all of them in the first place, I tell somebody one time, he said, well, now I just think about it, what it says. It says all Israel, and that means all Israel. You know, and that's all. You mean all those who have ever lived? Well, no, not all those who have ever lived. And then they start saying, well, in the tribulation, certain Jews are going to become the enemies of certain Antichrist, and they won't be included. And, you know, those, somehow all start to dwindle, even among those guys. You get down to a remnant, they have their own remnant. It's just not the same remnant that Paul's got. All Israel's going to be counting every Jew that ever lived? Well, all of them. Well, nobody teaches that. They just got to have their separate remnant. But, if now look at, if, and secondly, if Jesus, if these eschatological nuts or scholars are right, and Jesus is going to come back, and all the Jews are going to see him and say, what do you know? We were wrong after all. What is that going to do to the biblical doctrine of salvation by faith? Okay. And as a matter of fact, really, what they say is, wait, do they believe when Jesus comes back and performs miracles and they'll believe? Oh, yeah? Well, he did before. If Jesus landed in Jerusalem tonight, declared himself the Son of God, performed miracles, do you think the Jews would believe? I think they'd get mad. Just like they did before. Why should we believe that a miracle working Jesus will be accepted the second time and working the first time? Well, you know, salvation is by faith. But the Bible isn't just pull the Bible away. That's not true. So that's in words, I'm not just saying, but just to say that, to say, at the end of some time, Jesus is going to come back and save all of Israel. That's absurd, no matter how you look at it. And this text doesn't say that. And he says, in this way, he just brings back his argument. Okay, y'all see that? In this way, how? By God saving the remnant to operate. What is the remnant? Those who come by faith. So, Paul says, you can't say God doesn't keep his promise. He promised to save Israel. They're not all Israel, they're Israel. This is Israel.
Yeah,
if to Israel are those who come by faith, who come to faith in Christ, come to God through faith in Christ, can you say all Israel is saved? It can be all. Certainly. The only way it can be. As a matter of fact, I can think about what it says. It says all Israel. I mean, it means all Israel. Living or dead. not just a handful that happens to be in Palestine when Jesus comes back. And compare the handful. You know what I'm saying? So let's just go. Now he starts to lecture them, lecturing the Gentiles. He was rejecting them, and not giving them a fellowship. He never got very far from them. From the standpoint of the gospel, they, his national enemies, national Israel, are enemies for your sake. That means God is allowing them to persecute the church. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the Father. God to fill us, and the gift and the calling of God are irrevocable. That means God loves them. God has never stopped. They rejected God. The fact that God passed them off naturally does not mean he doesn't love them. Or he said this. God allowed the temple to be destroyed. That means that God hated the Jews. He's always loved them. Let them for the sake of the Father. There's a way they do go back to work. They don't have any special promise of salvation. But he still loves them. At the birth of the Gentiles are saved. Well, God used to love Jesus, and now he loves us.
I don't know if this is a time when we've done that as far as up till judgment. What do you mean? God's love for the Jews and everyone else who rejects? Oh, beyond. In fact, a man goes to hell if he's in the God. In Romans 8, he says that that's the love of God. Man goes to hell because God doesn't love him. No person will ever be lost because God doesn't love him. He'll be lost in spite of the fact that God loves him. So the point he's making to the Gentiles is this: you got the truth of the news of the Messiah. This does not give you grounds for hating. Why? God loves them. They come from God. He didn't come from man. And yes, if you were once disobedient to God, as a people of Gentiles, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience. We'll talk about that. So these also now have been disobedient, not just because of the mercy from you. They also may be shown mercy. Well, God wants them all. He wants all of us. For God has, here's the history again. For God has shut up all disobedience. Has shut up me. Put in the bag. It's idiomatic. Our idiom is, God has put everybody in the same bag. Everybody's in the same boat. Everybody's put under the same label, the same heading. Everybody's in the same category. What is it? Lost. God has set up all his provisions that he might show mercy to all. And then you have this hymn of praise. Oh, the depths of the riches, of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord and who became his counselor? He was wise with the counsel of God. For who has first given to him that he might be paid back to his kingdom? He gave to God and he gives God everything. For from him and through him and to him are all things, and him be glory forever. Amen. Well, that's beautiful, isn't it? Quite a complicated argument. Let's go back to the beginning here, like 5 minutes ago. He started out with it. Let me summarize it again. And I realized I'm repeating myself because repetition is a key to teaching. I want y'all to learn this. The question, they started out accusing God. I think the program, this chapter ends with a hymn of praise to God. Well, Paul, if what you say is true, what does that make God? It makes God a commentator. Because he promises they live now. And it makes God unfair. Why? He uses it. Now he's going to cast us off. So he says, no, God uses him to choose. And that doesn't obligate God. He is the potter and we are the clay. God never promised to save all of Israel, all of national Israel. Through Christ, he saves the remnant by faith. That's the only one who receives the promise. This is not some obscure teaching. It has been in your mouth, like before our eyes, all along. It does not mean that God, the fact that God has operated this way does not give the Jews a superior position or a Gentile a superior position. He will grab anybody into the roof. And God has kept every promise. He worked it out. All Israel shall be saved. And God is the God of betrayed, not trusted. He starts, and he has to explore this. You end up by saying, isn't God magnificent, great, and too much glory to that. Well, we would agree, isn't it? That it's amazing how God worked it all out. Aren't you glad that God included us? We had no right to be included. One thing I hope this will, if any of you have ever had in your background any type of anti-Semitism, I hope that you keep study of Romans and the cause to evaporate. And if you pick up any notion, usually they're subconscious.
We talk about money sometimes, it's too much, you know.
Yeah, right. Not, subconsciously, we sort of, but to pick up subconsciously, raise your head. And I hope this would help all of us. We're all present. Anybody says they're present, they're stupid. We're all present. I was furious when people interpreted my article to mean that therefore I was anti-Semitic. And I was accused of it in print of Christian standards, by the way.
By the Christian standards? Or in
Christian standards. Not by it, no. I wrote back and said, and they sent this letter to the Apostle Red, I wrote back and said, I don't think the print are the common of the chosen people either. Does that mean the anti-Dolic, you know? I said, I don't believe the Jews are chosen people anymore. That makes me anti-Semitic. What I was told. Well, I don't think the Eskimos are the chosen people. I think that is the Eskimos. I mean, that's a stupid argument. And if I want to say that I don't believe that it's why? The ones that are chosen now are those who come by faith, no matter who it is. And if God doesn't, well, and of course, the history of anti-Semitism is in the history of the church, the Western church, and we really have done with it. Yes.
Well,
it's going to play another part, it's going to play in world history. I say that it has nothing whatever to do with Bible prophecy. What's going on over there has nothing to do with Bible prophecy. Why? Because God, every promise, that's what he said, every promise that God made to the Israel is kept in Christ, it's already been kept. The land promise has already been kept. That outfit over there, I have my opinion that whether they have the right to the land or not. My opinion has nothing whatever to do with the subject of Bible prophecy. That's my understanding. For instance, I think they're right. My opinion is they're right to the land. Their right is illegitimate. Now there's too many Jews bought land. But the Jews simply also took over the status of the nation on somebody else's land. And that's illegitimate. The other side of that coin is, there's not a single nation in the world that has done the same thing, including us. If that's the mark of legitimacy, we're all going to have to move. Unless it's because every nation, almost every nation in the world is occupying whatever land they're occupying, they just took over from somebody weaker. So, in that regard, they've got about as much right to exist as anybody else. But as a matter of fact, I can understand the errors of this too. And I hope you realize something, that the Jewish Zionists are not only persecuted the Arab Christian church, they've also persecuted Orthodox Jews. The Zionists say that's about a little bit of God than we possibly imagine. And they think they hate Christianity, and the Jewish Zionists persecuted. So what is going to happen? I don't know. But I'm saying something that does not, the monster that does not fulfill Bible prophecy, and I'm doing it. That's my understanding.
I got one. Wait a minute. I'm afraid I'll get going, won't you?